Welcome to Raising Playful Tots. Raising Playful Tots is a weekly podcast about mums making the most of early years playtime. I'm your host, Melissa. Welcome to the play space. It's here that we focus on play that we want to see and experience in our homes. We cover play-related topics to inspire, teach, challenge, and lead us to have a great time with these kids of ours. You have children under 5 years old? This is the podcast for you. Introduce a new play idea. Welcome to Raising Playful Tots, show number 69. Thanks for listening to the show today. If you're new here, welcome to the show and hi to the regular playmates. There's plenty of room at the nature table over here. Last podcast, I interviewed Pon Sabra, founder, owner of AmericanMuslimMom.com. She shared her experiences of keeping play fun and upfront in her family's life while moving, homeschooling, and remaining active in her faith and local community. So if you missed that show, pop on over to the blog where you can listen to that one and find the archive of all the shows at www.raisingplayfultots.com/shows. Usually, once a month, there's a show that's just me with no interview, and this week's show is called Everyday Sensory Alphabet Activities. That's coming up in today's show. I hope you'll stick around. If you have comments about the show, want to share your play activities, then try the Facebook page, Twitter, or comment at the website, as I have show notes for each show. Let me know what you'd really like to hear more about. My email is melitsa@raisingplayfultots.com. That's M-E-L-I-T-S-A. I'll be right back after this short break.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Emily Rempe of ProductiveParenting.com, and you are listening to Raising Playful Tots.
For whatever reason, my first son was not keen at all to try wet, runny, sticky things. Now, as a new mum of a boy, this really, really surprised me. I was sure that this is what boys do. Play-Doh was an experience. He loved using tools to cut it, to chop it, to push it, to clamp it, to jam it, but touching it, not so much. So we became really aware of the tactile environment as we tried to encourage him to touch more things using his fingers. We made homemade pizza and it was his job to put on the toppings. If we were stirring flour when we were making something like cake, he had to try and do it. We tried to get him to pull the plug out of the water when we were using the sand tray, for example. You know, things that we usually do when we're playing together, everyday activities, just try to include him when it was a bit wet. To my mind, he was pretty sensory defensive. Roll on son number two, the middle one. He was what I expected when it came to sensory experiences. He just took everything in his stride. He wanted to touch, poke, prod things. Not too much, but he was curious. Curious enough to try gloop. And he was the one that played with it the longest. He was the one that made shapes with his spaghetti instead of eating it and drew circles in his applesauce. Although I expected that, I was always surprised of what he was getting into was always, always really gooey. So after my first one, this was a real change. I guess all of this was to prepare me for my youngest son, who touches a lot. You know, why use cutlery when fingers will do? Whatever the food. Reading a book? He's touching your skin and gently stroking it. Drop anything on the counter and he's running his paws up and down through it. I don't know what the word is, but it's like he's sensory attractive. He has to feel and touch everything. So with my heightened awareness of the world of touch and busy boys, I really noticed how my first son and then second son didn't actually sit for long periods of time unless they were doing open-ended tactile work. I was never a big fan of worksheets and printouts in our everyday play for lots and lots and lots of reasons. We did use them for specific reasons and occasions. They were just too active, though, to keep them in one place. And therein lied my dilemma. I want them to be active, and clearly they wanted to run around, but flitting from activity to activity was just hard to watch. Surely they are meant to stay for some length of time. However, I didn't want playtime and our time to be a battle, but somewhat on my terms too. So I decided to read more about tactile and sensory play. I wondered if there was a way to use this style to suit my children, as this seemed to be the way that they were inclined. It's the way that they did things. So I had a few books that I really enjoyed. One of my favorite books was by Carol Kranowitz called Out of Sync Child, full of practical activities, lots of sensory activities, and full of activities that you can just try with everyday stuff. We tried a lot of those and had so much fun doing that. A lot of the activities I saw in books were product-based. So you get these specific items, you do this specific thing or these things, and there you go, this specific thing is done at the end. And my boys really didn't want this approach at all. So one of the reasons why I started blogging over at play-activities.com/blog, and the games and ideas that we did and do together in the weekly activity emails that I also have at play-activities.com. I guess I was growing in my understanding of being a parent meant I didn't have to do what everyone else was doing or feel bad if my child was different. I'm sure a lot of you can relate to that. What I did have to do was find what works well for my child. However, niggling at the back of my mind was the knowledge that come age 3 or 4, these wriggly jiggly boys would need to be sitting, attending and doing things because they would be going to preschool or nursery. Having a blog is a great reference because I was able to look back and see how many sensory activities we love to do and remember because, well, we just took pictures a lot. And you could see it in their faces and we have some great memories. You know, they sat still longer during sensory activities and they love to do them. You know, I remember feeling of having active children and I would struggle with them not sitting to do very much. I really felt like a failure as a parent. Although they were happy and I was told that they would sit soon, if they didn't practice, how will that happen? Magically at preschool? Would mine be the wandering child in preschool? Oh, I had so many conflicting ideas. So the big guy, the oldest, loved pens and pencils. He was used to his tools. Anything to get him away from touching, if he could. So mark making was generally using unmessy items or lots of wipes nearby. He'd used chalk, but he needed to clean his hands frequently. So the way we got around this was that we had wipes. Having, you know, another baby in the house, it was easy. There was a bag of wipes that was there. So he could use the chalk and then he could wipe his hand on the wipes if he felt it was necessary. And then we could kind of wean him away from that and he could get used to his hands getting dirty and that would be fine. The middle one loved sand letters and sandpaper letters. So you could put a tray and pour some play sand in there and he would swirl and touch and he would enjoy that for ages. He would also, if you cut out letters from sandpaper and had them mounted on card, he could touch them. You can even buy those sandpaper letters now. He liked to touch them and feel those. And I noticed that he would sit for 10 minutes and then maybe 20 minutes would go by and sometimes 50 minutes, swirling, building, moving sand and water around. The middle one really loved to do that, and the older one gradually got used to doing that too. It was lovely to see an activity with the middle one that was all his. Because, you know, being the middle one and all, you tend to get a lot of hand-me-downs. You sometimes get squeezed because you're always worried about what the next new thing is for the older one, and you're always trying to gather up the younger one. The middle one can sometimes feel as if he's left out, and so I've been thinking for a while of something that I could do that was special that I hadn't done with the oldest one, and the youngest one was too small for, that I could do with the middle one that would make him feel special and catered to the needs of his play activities that he really enjoys doing. He's such a different child to his older brother as well. After a lot of ideas, because we talked about it together, and I told him I wanted to do something really special with him, and we talked for a while about all the different things that we could do, we hit on doing the alphabet together in as many different messy ways as possible. It's here that the idea was born for my latest toolkit, Sensory Alphabet. We started by looking in the fridge and around the kitchen, and we found runny, sticky, wet items we could use to practice our letters on. The beauty of all of this was that it was on hand. We only need a small amount and we could repeat, repeat, repeat. And don't they love to repeat? We had a bit of tasting going on as well, and it all just seemed a little bit naughty. I had lots of really. Can I pour this here and I can put my finger in it? Most of the alphabet activities seemed to be sitting, and I just kept thinking, okay, he's sitting, he's really enjoying these alphabet activities, but you know, I know he really likes to run around. So we'd do a few active activities that involved us moving around to find things and do things. We'd find the letter and show it. We'd do an action for the letter, and lastly, we would try and make the letter from everyday things from around the house. You know, unlike every family, we like to cuddle up with the books, so we try to find books that emphasize the letter in the title or keywords or character. We also took the opportunity to not just find any old books that we happen to have on our shelves, but we tried to find books that reflected us as a multicultural family. We saw that A is for Apple and all those alphabet type books, and they're great, absolutely great. But we also wanted to see a group of books with people of color and different races and from around the world, and also experiencing different things, so children that had disabilities as well. Because, you know, our world is complex, and I was interested in making sure that we had a chance to talk about very different things while we are looking at the stories. Since we were home together, we did this project over, I don't know, 3-4 months, something like that. One part here and another part there. It's not a curriculum, so it wasn't forced or we had to do it in a specific way. I wanted it to be fun, and I wanted us to remember that this was our project. This is what we did together. And we talked a lot about it. So now we have a toolkit to offer you of sensory play activities to try at home. So there are 6 activities, as I've described, for each alphabet activity. I also interviewed 3 experts about the alphabet to answer some of your questions, like 6 mistakes to avoid when teaching or learning the alphabet so you can teach and play with confidence that your child will not have to relearn it in times to come. 9 things parents should do and know about teaching the alphabet so you can enjoy the process without missing crucial steps and integrate ideas seamlessly into your play planning. Alphabet sounds versus letter names. Thoughts on handwriting and hand position so you can stress less with a good foundation and enjoy playful alphabet experiences, secure in the knowledge that you're heading in the right direction. Along with these audio interviews, there's a transcript, so you can search really quickly for the information that you want to, and you can print it out and keep as well. So there's a 99-page ebook in PDF form that you can download, more than 50 minutes of audio to help you in your decision making, and transcripts to help you find the information. The interviews are by three well-known people that you'll be very familiar with. There's Amy Mascott. She's a reading specialist, tutor, consultant, and former English high school teacher. She's a popular speaker, and she writes in so many places and works tirelessly as a stay-at-home mother to three lovely little ones. She has a special group called We Teach Group. It's a virtual lounge for teachers, and her website is teachmama.com. And she provided the information about alphabet sounds versus letter names, thoughts on handwriting and hand position. Deborah Stewart has worked in the early childhood field as a teacher, director, curriculum writer, music director and consultant for staff training and professional development for more than 20 years. And she promotes excellence in early childhood education, professional development and practice through her teachpreschool.org website. Now, we were fortunate enough to have Deborah be able to come and talk to us about 6 mistakes to avoid when teaching or learning the alphabet, and 9 things parents should do and know about teaching the alphabet so you can enjoy the process without missing the crucial steps. The third interview was with Valerie Dean, and you know Valerie Dean as a frugal mum of 2 and the author of frugalfamilyfunblog.com, where she writes daily about her obsession with inexpensive craft and activity ideas the entire family can enjoy. And Valerie gave us some kickstart ideas of more inexpensive alphabet activities that you can do. Now you've started thinking about sensory alphabet activities, you'll be wondering about all the possibilities that you can do, and Valerie gives us some really amazing examples. So to see and hear the samples, you can hear samples of each of those interviews, and you can see a very small sample of the ebook. And learn more, you need to visit everydayalphabetactivities.com. That's everydayalphabetactivities.com. No one needs to feel that a sensory approach to alphabet learning isn't valid, or that if your child is not keen on craft-based alphabet activities, that's it, you're done, there's nothing else to do. There is a bonus that is attached to this toolkit. Ali of NoTimeForFlashcards.com produced a craft-based alphabet activity set, and she has offered that at a discount price for those people that sign up for the EverydayAlphabetActivities.com. Let me know how you get on, and I'm really, really excited to be sharing this project with you. We had a lot of time, a lot of fun, the little guy and I, when we were doing it together. I hope you have as much fun as we did. Sensory play is something that I know many of you are really interested in, so be sure to drop me a line and let me know what you think and what you are doing yourself with that. We've had a few shows on sensory play and sensory play activities. If you are new to the show and you're looking for sensory activities and sensory ideas, and you're not quite sure, or you have a child with a specific need, maybe you have a baby and a toddler and you're wondering, I don't know, what can I really do with them? Go back to show number 56. It's called Sensory Play for Babies and Toddlers. Or you can go to show number 62, which is Sensory Play Activities is as Easy as Play to Z. I'm really, really excited about this toolkit. I've been talking about it for a while. It's taken a while to get it all into shape, ship shape, put it into the PDF, upload it, sort all of the gremlins out. That happens when you're formatting and fixing audio. And I'm really excited to share this with you guys today. Thanks for listening to the show today, and a big hello to our new listeners. I see lots of you subscribe via iTunes and download from Stitcher. There are lots of ways to subscribe to the show so you don't miss an episode, and all of those are detailed on the site. If you're new here, you may not know that I have a website, raisingplayfultots.com, where you can not only find the show notes of all the links handy for those of you that are driving or folding laundry or working out, etc., but it's full of resources to help the busy family make the most of playtime with their tots. If you've not been to the site recently, you'll see lots of new pages and resources, along with the previous episodes of the show, including links to the new toolkit that I've just talked about. As always, I appreciate that you are spreading the word. iTunes reviews are really helpful. So if you've liked this free content and you are able to, why not go over to iTunes and write a review? Now, I know today was a different kind of episode. Next week, we'll be back with an interview. I hope you're all getting back into school now with a bang. For those of you that have children that have started school, or back into nursery or preschool, or if you're at home with your little ones, that you're loving the time that you have with the little ones with lots of play ideas, whether they're working or not working, I'd love to hear about it. Get in touch with your news via the website or email. You've been listening to Raising Playful Tots, show number 69. Come over and play next week. Until then, find time for some unplugged play. Join with me each week as we share, learn, and laugh together about making the most of early childhood playtime. Goodbye.